I was buying some food this morning when I saw a mother and her little boy. He was such a cute little child, interested in everything in that shop. He wanted to touch them and play with them, and he even squeezed a banana until it popped right open.
Oh, no. Well, Carol, you and I both know children like to touch things. And it's not always a good thing, especially when we're in a hurry, but it is how they learn.
Well, it certainly seemed to annoy his mother. She kept telling him he was silly or stupid, and she even called him an idiot.
Oh, no.
"You're a bad little horrible boy," she shouted. She even said she wished she didn't have him. Oh, I felt so sad, because his little eyes filled up with tears and his mouth began to quiver. He stopped playing and he followed her around, but he looked like a little beaten puppy.
Oh, did she actually beat him?
No, no, it was just the words and the angry way she said them.
You know, people say sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me.
And tell me something, what does that really mean?
It means that people can't hurt you with bad things they say to you or about you. But I think words really can hurt us.
Mm.
Have you ever been hurt by words?
I certainly have. I can still remember things that were said to me when I was a little girl. Welcome to Women of Hope. Today we're talking about words and actions that wound or hurt us. Sometimes we call it abuse. Let's welcome our guest today. Fran is a counselor, and she has seen many people whose hearts are hurting.
I have, Carol, and I've also had my own hurting heart. I think we can all remember feeling powerless and hurt.
Abuse is a strong word, isn't it, Fran? What does it really mean?
Well, we talk about abuse when a person who has more power uses that power to please themselves, and they do it in ways that hurt a person who is weaker than themselves.
Do you mean that they're bigger? Or they bully someone?
Yes, it might mean that, but it can mean more than that. They might be bigger and stronger and use force, but they might be in a higher position, like a boss. They might be richer, like a moneylender or a landlord, or perhaps have authority, like a policeman. They have the power to make your life more difficult.
I've heard of soldiers who force people to give them money, and even force women to have sex with them.
Yes, those things are certainly abuse. Sexual abuse is one of the worst kinds. No one has the right ever to force or scare or trick another person into a physical contact that they don't want.
I always warn my children not to go with people they don't know.
That's good advice. But sadly, it's often not a stranger, but someone in the family or a family friend who demands sex. Or molests children who are powerless to say no. Children don't understand all that is meant by sexual contact, and their little bodies and minds are not ready for it. It is never right for older people to use them in this way. So if a child hugs an adult, that's not an invitation to touch them in wrong ways, or make them touch the adult in wrong ways. I've worked with many adults, women and men, and they've been deeply damaged in their hearts and minds because of sexual abuse when they were children. Usually the abuser has told them that it's their fault and that they must keep a secret. And this kind of secret is wrong. If you or someone you know are being abused like this, do find someone in authority who you trust and talk to them about it. Children really deserve protection against these kinds of cruel things. And in God's word, the Bible, Jesus said that God will punish those who do bad things to children. He loves children and he hates this evil thing.
Wow, Fran, that's pretty intense.
Yes, it is very serious. Sometimes, you know, I cry out to God in pain because of the terrible things that happen to people. And it's not something we like to talk about, is it? But it happens all over the world, in many cultures. And if we keep it a secret, we help abusers to keep hurting innocent people, and those are usually women and children. Bringing it out into the open is the first step to changing it.
That takes a lot of courage.
But it's not always violence with sticks or fists. Well-educated people can use clever words to hurt or trick others. And parents or teachers or religious leaders, people who children are taught to obey, they can use their position to get their own way. I'd like us to think now about the words we use. Can you remember the first time you felt really hurt by words? Can you remember what was said and how you felt? I'm sure a memory comes to your mind, and perhaps those same feelings rise up again, even now. We tend to remember times when our feelings were strong, even when we forget what actually happened at the time. Those words may stay with us, and we still hear them in our heads, and years later we can live as though they are true. Think about that little boy that we heard about earlier. If his parents often act like that, he may go through life believing that he's no good and that he does not deserve love. The world will feel a dangerous place to him. He may be fearful, afraid to say what he thinks, or step out bravely to do new things. Or he may become angry and bitter and find it very hard to feel love. And of course, when he grows up, he won't know how to be a good parent himself.
But parents do need to correct their children, to discipline them. Sometimes we think we need to spank them. Is that abuse?
What do you think is the difference between discipline and abuse?
I suppose discipline is done to teach your child important lessons. Abuse is more about getting what you want.
Yes, that's right. Discipline could be a punishment, like a smack or being sent to their room for a while. And sometimes we need to make our children do something that they don't want to, like helping with the tasks at home. We certainly do need to train our children. We usually don't enjoy disciplining our children, and they don't enjoy it either. God's word says that no one enjoys their father's discipline at the time, but in the long run, it produces good fruit in their lives.
That's so true. And I'm glad that my mom and dad made me study and taught me to know what's right. And I'm even glad they punished me sometimes.
So when you need to correct your children, try to show them what it was that they did wrong. Punish them if needed, but don't do it in a temper or beat them. Don't call them bad names. And always, always let them know that you love them. Friend, what do you think children need most? Yes, they need food and a home and clothes and exercise. They need to be taught the right way to behave. But just as much, they need to know that you hear and value their thoughts, that their needs will be respected and met. They need to know that they are loved for who they are, even if they sometimes do wrong things.
I think even as adults, we need those things too. To be valued and respected, and to feel loved, don't we?
Yes, we certainly do.
Is it just children that are wounded by words?
No, not at all. We can be hurt by words all through our lives. You know this if you live or work with people who tease you or say sarcastic or cruel things. And the worst times are when someone that we love or depend on says harsh, bitter, threatening, or untrue things to us. It feels worse than a slap. Sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can really hurt you. Now I want us to think about how God sees abuse. What do you think he would feel like when he sees innocent children or adults being abused? It's clear that people who abuse other people do not show respect. They treat other people as things to be used, and that is so wrong in God's eyes. God's prophets wrote that God is very angry with those who use their power to hurt and exploit others. The Bible says he made all people in his image, like him in some ways. He says that you are unique and special to him. You are not a thing. You are a person, and God wants to be your friend. You know, my friend, God is like the best mother or father there ever was. He loves you so much, even when you do wrong things. And in his word, the Bible, he says, I have loved you with everlasting love. He may teach you lessons in life to help you do better, but he never turns against you. He never loses his temper with you, or uses his power to hurt you. He says his plans are to do you good and not to harm you. He wants to give you a future and a hope. If you have bad memories of abusive words, you can ask God to heal those memories and put his loving words in their place. If you're abused now, don't believe the lies people may say. Tell yourself the truth. Remember that you are precious to God, so precious that he gave his son Jesus to die for you, so that you could be his very special daughter. Jesus taught his followers to show love and concern for those who are weaker, to try to protect the powerless and speak up for them. Jesus spoke up for children and for women. He reached out to people who were poor or powerless or rejected. Here is a true story about Jesus Christ from the Bible. Early one morning, Jesus was sitting teaching the people in the temple courtyard. Some community leaders dragged a woman along and threw her in front of Jesus. "Look at her," they shouted. She was caught in the very act of having sex with a man who was not her husband. "The law of Moses says she should be stoned to death. What do you say?" They were actually trying to trick Jesus into criticizing their holy law. Jesus looked at the woman and he was filled with pity for her. He knew she had little power in that town. Perhaps she'd been forced or tricked into being with that man. And where was the man? Wasn't he just as guilty? Perhaps even more guilty? Yet he wasn't being punished at all. How cruel and unfair it was. Now, Jesus didn't say that sex outside marriage was all right. He said, "Let the man who has never done anything wrong throw the first stone." Then he waited, bending down and writing something in the dust. The leaders became very quiet because they knew they were sinners. They had done wrong things too. The oldest leader turned away and left without a word. Others followed silently till only the woman was left. Then Jesus stood up and looked at her. "Where are those who judged you?" he asked. "They've all gone," she answered through her tears. "I don't judge you either," Jesus said gently. "Now go and don't sin again." That is the end of the story from God's word. Jesus touched people who felt dirty from their own past wrongdoing and dirty from things that were done to them. He invited them to come to him. He promised to forgive their sins and to wash them clean in their hearts if they trusted in him and really wanted to start a new life that pleased God. And he reaches out to you today, my friend, in just the same way.
I hope that what we have heard today has reminded you that you are precious, that every person is precious. A friend of ours recently told me a story about his teenage son playing tennis. I was so encouraged about what he said, I thought I'd share it with you.
Oh, is this Dave's son, Tim?
That's right. Tim decided to join the tennis team at his high school, even though he had never played tennis. He worked hard, and he improved to the point that he was occasionally playing in doubles matches. One of the last matches Tim played in was very disappointing. His partner was the type of person who seemed to find fault with everything he did on the tennis court. Dave said Tim became more discouraged as his doubles partner continued to criticize him. He played very poorly, and they lost the match fairly quickly. Dave went on to say that he and his wife were encouraging Tim not to worry about it because everybody has a bad match. And the next week, his team played their last match of the season. The tennis coach decided that Tim would play doubles with one of the best and oldest players at the high school level. Tim said he was very nervous about playing at that high level since he was just a beginner. Can you imagine playing at the high school level after starting to play tennis only 2 months before?
That's amazing. But I know Tim is a pretty good athlete. How did he and his partner do?
Dave said Tim and his partner did great, and they won the match rather easily.
So what made the difference from 1 week to the next, especially since Tim was playing at a much higher level of competition?
Well, Dave said that Tim's partner offered constant encouragement to him all through the match. At one point, Tim made an error that came at a crucial point early in the match. Instead of criticizing Tim, his partner patted him on the back and told him not to worry about it, but just keep playing hard. And soon the other players on the team, who were waiting their turn to play, were yelling encouragement to Tim and his partner. Dave said that Tim played with more confidence and actually played better than he had ever played. He thinks Tim played so well because of the encouragement he received from the other players, and in particular, from his partner.
That's terrific to hear. That shows in a very real way the power encouragement has on a person. Tim's partner could have criticized him for the mistake, but instead he encouraged him. Instead of using harsh words to correct, we can use encouraging words to help somebody do better. You know, there's a verse in God's Word that I don't hear very often, but it really fits this story. It says, "Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit."
That's a great quote from the Bible. Why don't we stop for a moment and pray together? You can pray this prayer too, if it's what you want to say to God. Dear God, we thank you that you love us better than the best mother or father could ever do. Will you please wash away the guilt of our sins, because Jesus Christ has taken our punishment? And please begin to wash away the pain and dirtiness we feel because of what we have suffered in our lives. We ask you to protect us and those we love, and to help us protect and care for others. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Take another minute to tell you an encouraging story about my friend Hanny. Hanny was the oldest girl in her family, and her mother suffered from severe depression. Hanny tried to look after her little brother and sisters and to protect them from their father. He was usually a nice man, but he would get drunk, and then he would shout and hit, and he would sexually abuse Hanny. She thought there was no one she could tell about this. Now, Hanny knew about Jesus, and she really loved him. When her father was cruel, she would remember that God loved her. She always asked God to help her, and she was quite sure that he did. And one day, she felt strong enough to tell her father that he could not touch her again. She waited until he was sober and told him this, and he was shocked, and he stopped hurting her. When he changed, her mother began to get better as well. When Hanny grew up, she prayed a lot about her family. She understood then that her mother had been too sick to protect her. She knew that what her father did was very wrong, but she didn't want to be bitter and angry all her life. She asked God to help her to forgive her father for abusing her. She was able to put it behind her. She even cared for them when they were old and needed help. Hanny married a man who was loving and respectful. He really made her feel worthwhile and precious, and that helped her a lot. But Hanny has had a lot of pain in her life. But now she is a loving and compassionate woman. She's a wonderful mother and grandmother. God has healed all the damage that was done to her mind and spirit, and she is able to help other people who suffer in the same way.
Fran, that's a great story. It really gives us hope, doesn't it? Hope that God can bring us through such things. If you would like to know more about Jesus and how he can help you, you can write to us at TWR Women of Hope. The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. If you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page. We do hope you will be with us again. Have a great week.